Welcome to the intellectuals, where we discuss matters arising in our hearts, and we trust God that through this, the Lord will answer some silent questions in our hearts in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our dear Father, we thank you once again because you are faithful, the all-knowing, the all-sufficient. We bless your name because there is none like you. Lord, we ask that as we look into matters, we ask that, Lord, you will speak to us. Lord, you will direct our heart and you will grant us understanding and light in through your word in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. So now, having seen that evil is something that has been on the earth, and it takes when God's timing come for evil to be eradicated from the earth. The question now is, we have been hearing here and there people dying and then accidents happening all around and so many kind of things. So as a Christian, how can we be able to cope up with evil? How can we be able to exempt it? Or is it that are we also part of the people who are to experience this evil? Because question arising, what if it's me next? What is me tomorrow? And all that. How do a believer is being sustained in this matter of storm? And while also that we have seen many times also as believers, it seems as if God failed us. We are trusting God for something, maybe to save our father, to save our mother. When they were sick, we prayed, we did all that is necessary. But at the end of the day, we lose certain people. It now looks as if God failed us. In our academies, we are trusting God for good grades and all that. So with all these things, how can a believer be in this world filled with evil and yet being able to overcome them?
Right. Thank you very much for these questions. They are very, very serious. Many people are being traumatized by this. And I only could trust in the Lord that these answers will come to help God's people. First, let me say that these things are supposed to be received by faith. You must believe God's word. If you don't believe God's word, your trouble continues. I had this trouble too. Growing up in my faith, why was evil happening in the world? Why do bad things happen to good people? Christians will pray sometimes. It's as if God is deaf. And sometimes that's just the word. Some people just get angry like, what if he's there? Why is he allowing it to happen? Things like that. First, let me speak to you about the fact that the scripture clearly said, John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Jesus said it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. So Jesus did not deceive us, and the world will not give us peace. You know, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So because we are in the world, we relate with unbelievers, even though we are born again. We relate every day with evil people. Armed robbers will shoot. There will be stray bullets. There will be all kinds of... So we are surrounded. The Bible talked about the world lieth in darkness. Okay? But there's something is there. There's a peace I'm living with you. It's particular. When he says peace I live with you, not peace I live with your family. Is you. So this is a very personal issue. You know, why is it that this is happening? God is not protecting my family. It's the peace I live with you. It's personal. Even when Jesus rose from the dead, there was a Thomas doubting. The testimony of Peter could not cover for the conviction of Thomas. Thomas must believe personally, even though everybody was in discipleship. The peace I give to you is not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled. So God, Jesus knew that there will be troubling situation. He said, let not your heart. You see, trouble can be around. But once your heart is not troubled, you are fine. He said, neither let it be afraid. You know, when I first saw the scripture, I said, Lord, the matters with us are things of fear. You can't hear Boko Haram is attacking people. Jihadists are slaughtering people in Somalia. And all kinds of things. There is war in Ukraine. They are fearful things. But Jesus clearly said, let not your heart. That's why the matter of the heart is so strong. So let me put it this way, that he has offered us his peace. Let's receive it by faith. So the first thing you must say, I receive the peace of God. The peace that comes from Jesus by faith. I have the peace of God. It must be a daily confession. Time will fail me. I wanted to talk into something, but that's the first thing. If you look at John 16:33, look at this. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In me. So abiding in Christ is what guarantees your peace. And the peace here is first the peace of the heart. When a Ikeja bomb blast happened, Christian houses were destroyed. Because the bomb blast was a product of either somebody's carelessness or whatever. So in the middle, because if you check the persecution of Christians in Iraq and Iran, they lost their houses. They lost a lot of things. But there's something we have noticed. The peace that ruled in the heart of Christians. Please, I want us to check another scripture. And I want you to see how the scripture puts it very clearly. Philippians chapter 4. And then verse 6, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, say, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I don't know if you have another translation there that can help me.
Do not fret or have any anxiety.
You see, do not have any anxiety
about anything, but in every circumstance.
Now, you see, that's a very serious instruction. So, what is anything? So, whatever they say is happening, don't be anxious. Don't let it lead to anxiety. Go on.
But in every circumstance.
How many circumstances?
Every circumstance.
Whether a bomb blast, a jihadist, a kidnapping. In every circumstance.
And in everything.
And in everything.
By prayer.
Uh-huh.
And petition.
Uh-huh.
With thanksgiving.
You see, these are three things that makes prayer answer. I remember when the Holy Spirit told me that. I told you three things that makes prayer answer. Prayer. Petition. Thanksgiving. He said most of the part. Time you do prayer and petition. Prayer is communication in itself to God. Petition is the particularity of a request to tender a particular. Prayer can be general, but when I'm praying for the peace of all Christians, petition is specific. I'm asking you for this concerning this. He said most of the time you don't have the last part, thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is a demonstration of faith that what God said. And the things I have requested, he has done. Not he will do. Because if I say we should go into the issue of thanksgiving. You know, thanksgiving is you give thanks for what somebody has done. It's not what somebody will do. Thanksgiving is not what you do because of what somebody will do. No. Thank you is a statement of what somebody has done. So it takes faith to pray and to give thanks. We all pray most of the time. Without thanksgiving. When we give thanksgiving, we return to the prayer at times as if God, you are slow. These are the things that cancels our prayer. When people say, I prayed, but it seems as if God failed me. God is not moved by your feelings, he is moved by your obedience to his word. When God told me that, I'm quite very serious about what I say. When I say it through my apostles that let your request be made known unto me, and you offer, be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, with, King James says, with thanksgiving. So it means every prayer must go with thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is not, I thank you, Lord, because you will do it. No. I thank you, Lord, because you have done it, and you behave. A thanksgiving life is what Abraham demonstrated. The Bible says Abraham believed God and he rejoiced. He gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks before the five loaves and two fishes multiplied. Actually, he gave thanks because they are already multiplied. It's a rule of faith that many believers are missing. And when God and his word is not understood, there will be many things that will not come to pass. So, can you finish up that scripture?
Okay, the next verse. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured its salvation through Christ.
That looks big. Can we have another simpler translation?
All right. And God's peace, which transcends all understanding,
which passes all understanding,
shall shall garrison and mount guard over your heart.
So the peace of God is a weapon of defense.
Mm.
You see, that translation said the peace will garrison, it will mount guard. So when you begin to make your prayers to God with thanksgiving, one thing you receive after thanksgiving is peace. When you pray a prayer and you've not properly given thanks, you will still be anxious. That's a sign that you've not prayed through. Thanksgiving results in peace. And according to that translation, that peace that passes understanding will garrison, guard. That means protect your heart from intrusion of worry and anxiety and fear. And that translation there?
Yes.
What translation? NLT.
If you do this, you will experience God's peace,
yes,
which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand.
Mm-hmm.
His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus.
You see that? So, you see, when he now said in that John 14 that, my peace I leave with you, is this kind of peace that is beyond human understanding. You see, the peace you are talking about here, it's not the peace from a comedian, motivational talk, or soothing words. It's a peace administered by Christ through the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a practical example. Two people who were Christians, missionaries, they were going to either Bauchi or so. Along the way, they were missing. Maybe jihadists took them or whatever. Till date, we've not seen them. They are dead. I'm talking about something that has gone now for 8 years. We're still looking for them, if not more. About that, 8-7 years. We prayed every prayer, everything to see them. And we're told that before they left for the journey, I think they said they had about 3 hours prayer. The two brothers, as if they knew that something was going to happen, they prayed very earnestly. And they just went for, and they are going for a gospel walk. And they went missing. All the reports we are hearing is either kidnapped and killed, but their death is not traceable. Believers. But this is the interesting part of the story. They have young wives and children who, is now the main matter. So the other elders of the mission agency went to do consolation visit. It's the wives that were consoling the people that came to visit. The wives began to really, really speak the words of faith and cause that the sorrow in the atmosphere dried. In fact, many people stopped praying when they had the testimony of the wives. They know their husbands. That kind of peace can't be explained. Now, you want to console someone because the joy, what Satan feeds on is your tears. Tears of believers feeding his own joy. That's why the Bible says God shall wipe away all tears, and Satan himself shall be tormented and taken out of the way. So, because the tears of saints and the tears of Christians is what the devil uses in his own kingdom. Some agent of darkness who have confessed from repenting from God, they have said it. Sorrow and tears are the rejoicings of the pit of hell and demons. So when the Bible says fear not, it means you are starving them of their own rejoicings. When the Bible says fear not, it's saying do not weep, do not be afraid, let not heart be troubled. It's simply saying don't give worship to the devil. Now the Bible says there's a peace that even you can't explain. You lose your loved one. You can't explain when you start saying, I commit this to you and I thank you because you are faithful. Now there are things we cannot give proper explanation to. I'm not going to pretend to do it. But there are things revealed to us in his word. Stephen was killed. What explanation do we have for that? He's a young man. But there was peace that ruled in the heart of me. Not around. There's a peace. James was killed. These are apostles of the Lamb. Check church history. All apostles except one escaped violent death. But guess what? The history of the church has it to say they all died peacefully. Peter was telling by church history, was describing to the people how they should kill him. That's authority over death. Imagine people came to kill you and he said, no, don't slaughter me, shoot me. That's authority over death. We're not talking about dying anyhow. We're talking about dying for your faith. That's case one. So people should understand there is a peace, and you can only receive it by faith. Many times Christ has offered peace to people that are hurt, to people that are in trouble, but they will not receive that peace. Peace is to be received also. Are we together? So we've seen things that we are wondering that I remember there's a woman, I won't mention her name now. She is very close to my wife. She lost all her children in one accident. A strong believer. One accident. All her children. I think only one was left. Maybe that one did not follow them to the traveling or whatever. She lost. She, today she's paralyzed in the left hand. Yes. Strong believer. You know, sometimes there are some, you know, there's a book by James Dobson, When God Doesn't Make Sense. It's a book that everybody should read. James Dobson. Because there are some things that really look like God doesn't make sense, but He does make all the sense. He is the creator. Charles Swindoll said, God is the creator. We are not. We don't have right over the creator. And the Bible clearly said our creator is good. It said God is good. Jesus said there is none that is good. So being good. Okay, let me ask you a question. All the children of Job died. You know, if it was just animals that were dying, understandable. His children, their house where they were playing one day, fell on them. And God was still making a point. Now, take note. It was not God that destroyed the children. From the scripture, it was the devil. But God had to say, let me allow you. Because all we are going for is the integrity of that man. Now, you say, oh, so God wastes life just to prove a point? Because those are the questions. God didn't waste life. The integrity of Job was in question. And see, God is the creator of lives. So how will the children be judged on the final day? I want you to understand that the Bible says that death means nothing to God. Death is just change of address. It is us here that death means a lot to. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of the saint. Let's check that scripture so that you can see what how God sees death. Psalm 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So death of saints gives God pleasure. Now if you don't study this scripture, so when a saint is dying, God is excited because someone is coming to rest. Someone is coming to experience immortality and the divine nature in fullness. Death to God is not death to man. God has right to take anybody. He has, see, you must understand, one of the most powerful statements that Charles Swindoll made was, He is God, we are not. He was, if you can't accept that, then get ready for anxiety and trouble of your life. Now, does God do evil? He doesn't do evil. Because He is essentially good. Which will go, if you don't pick our first message, you will not understand this origin. God doesn't do evil. God has capacity in Himself to make evil happen. But His nature is not evil. He Himself created the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we must understand God that death to God is leaving your body to experience the divine nature that He has packaged for us. He's precious to God. He's wonderful to God. Even Jesus was in haste to leave this world. Yes. Check Him. Check the statement in the Gospels. He said, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. He was not planning to stay. He planned to do a work, finish the work, and quickly leave. Because glory, even Paul said, it's far more better to be with the Lord than to be here on earth. So, if we don't understand death, Satan will still be threatening us. Oh, so 14 people died. 850 died. 15 Christians were killed. If you understand that they are genuine Christians, they are precious in the sight of the Lord. Is their death. What we must aim at is finishing the work He has given us to do. If Christians understand this, Paul said it in Thessalonians, we should not sorrow like the world. It's painful when Christians died and we are crying as if we don't believe in resurrection. Let's check that scripture also. So that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you can help me read it from the translation that is with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 and 14. So we can, yes, 13 and 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13 and 14. Yes.
And now,
brothers and sisters,
I want you to know what will happen to the Christians who have died, so you will not be full of sorrow like that? People who have no hope.
You see that who have died, whether by marching, whether by jihadists. I'm going to address pain, because one of the things that affect us is how they were killed. That's one of the things, you know, how they were killed. I'll tell you a mystery God showed me one time. How they were killed, you know, macheted, you know, that idea. That is one of the things that pain, look at, you say, is a gruesome death, accident, you know, that idea. But we forget that death is death. And I'm going to tell you something about the pain that we talk about. Because most of the time, what torments us is the pain the person must have gone through. Whereas we're not the one that experienced the pain. The person we are pitying has left. But we are mourning the pain he must have gone through, seeing how the machete cut through the eyes. These are the things that gives us headache and trauma. So go on, read.
For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus comes, God will bring back with Jesus all the Christians who have died.
Now, the challenge is that, let me just read from King James. It said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So sometimes when we see the way Christians cry, let me give an example. This is not, I'm not speaking as if I'm a master. I'm talking as a fellow disciple. If Boko Haram or a jihadist enter a land and kill several Christians, and the next thing is we start giving glory to God, that we are sure of their journey. Do you know we frustrate jihadists? Because one of the things that give them strength is our weeping. The way we sorrow. Go and see the so-called videos of jihadists. They ride on the sorrow they give, the pain they give. But when they give their broadcast, I will say, we bless the Lord, we thank him, because precious is the sight of the Lord, is the death of his people. You could not have killed them, because imagine Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body. I mean, he did not deceive us. That's one of the most honest statements I have read in the scripture. Do not fear. So I said, I remember when I said, Lord, do not fear those who can kill. Aren't you going to protect us from them? So I may and may not. If I wanted you to emphasize boldness before that, I wouldn't withdraw that man from killing you. But I'm going to be right there with you that day you are killed, that I give you a peace and a strength that even you don't know it dwells in you. So let me give you two testimonies. Let me finish this up and give you two testimonies. So it is important for us to understand that it pains God when we cry for Christians that are killed, that they are saved. Because the glory they are entering, he said to the thief, today you will meet me in paradise. Who cares about the nail and the pain of that thief on the cross anymore? That soothing relief is that you are entering into the joy of the Lord. And the beautiful thing is that pain is not as we amplify and bring it. The Lord said to me, in that understanding of scripture, he said, being a shepherd, I call myself the good shepherd. Do you know that? Does the good shepherd abandon any sheep in his pain? God said very clearly, he said, from my integrity, none of my children is left to bear the fire alone. For it is revealed in what he told Paul, you cannot kick against the pricks. Why are you persecuting me? You know, Paul was not directly persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the church. But you know, every pain you inflict on a Christian is Jesus that feels it. And he bears that pain with the believer, so that the believer faces death as if he's facing something simple. Let me give an example. One of our elders in Northern Nigeria, for confirmation's sake, is the Archbishop of Anglican Church, Reverend Bishop Kwash. When he was to be killed by jihadists, he eventually, God helped. When he was to be killed by jihadists, he knelt down and they said they were about to slaughter him. And he told them to allow him pray. And he said they should slaughter him on the ground. Somewhere around that. Not like, they said, no, let kill me. It's okay to kill me, but please let me pray. Now that's some, do you know, how Bishop Kwashi Oninom might not have been able to think of a kind of boldness like that. And the peace that surpasses understanding. So let me tell you something. There's a power in believers that when it's time, Jesus said that, do not care about what you will say. He said at that time, the spirit of your father who is in you will give you. If it was your ordination to death, you will laugh and smile to get to heaven. If God needs to reveal angels to you at the point of your death, you will see them. He is too faithful to deny his word. He said, I'm with you. You say, well, how do we know that? That's by faith. And we have countless testimonies of, I can give you testimonies of people. That's somebody that I know, that I've seen myself, who was, I remember one of my own friends that was supposed to die in hospital and was being written off that there's no hope. Jesus came life into the hospital. I was there in that hospital to see the places where the doctor cut through in her belly and then given over because they made a mistake and I was in that. Jesus came. Now, he said, he promised it. He was there strengthening James when he was dying. He was there strengthening Stephen when he was dying. He has been there strengthening believers who have to die for their faith. He will not, because he told Paul, you are persecuting me, you are touching me, you are wounding me. And he told Paul, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. When you persecute a Christian, you are wounding yourself. Jihadists don't know what damage they are doing to themselves and their generations. Except they repent. And they don't know that. Now, we have, if you go and read Fox's book of Matthias. In the Fox's book of Matthias, from page 1 to the last page of that book, is about death of believers. It's one of the books that a generation needs to read it again. You see how people disgrace death. Believers. Blood flowed all through in that book. Serious persecution, gruesome death. But you need to see, go and read the book of Hebrews again, chapter 11. You see how some people mocked death. You can saw me into pieces. It does not. Go and check it. And these are the things that is part of what God left as a testimony that death has lost its power. I can't give you testimonies of people dying and they are singing, worshipping. I remember a young brother that died. We didn't expect that. That's the first part I'm dealing with. The fear must be gone. He said that he can see angels now. They're ready to pick him. He wants to go home. I mean, real testimonies. So death to us here is not. Then the final thing the Holy Spirit told me is that he said, for my own children, before they start inflicting pain of death, I've taken them. To you, it's not like that. You can't see the spirit and soul. You can see the body reacting on the floor to match it. He said, but I've taken, I'm faithful. Don't you know that's what happened to Stephen? His spirit has already started seeing Christ. He was no more in the body. You can't be stoned and not be saying, yay. Stephen didn't shout, yay. Check your Act of the Apostles. As he saw the Lord, his spirit was already taken. The comment of, I see the Lord, he was no more in the body. Stones could not wound. There was no pain. No. Jesus has bore that pain for us. So what we saw was that you can do, that's why I said, do not fear those who can kill body, inflict pain on the body, but your soul and spirit is intact. It's been taken. When the Lord showed me that revelation, he said, wait until, if you have a calling for Matthias, you will see it happen. I don't fail my own children. Now that is different from churchgoers. So you see, it's terrible to die in a tribal clash as a churchgoer, not as a genuine Christian. Because Jesus will not stay with a sinner who goes to church, who calls himself a Christian. That person will experience pain in death. Now that does not justify the gruesomeness of the wicked people. This is where government should rise. But when the government is being sabotaged by the devil, what do you expect? Okay, so that's one of the things I want us to know. So when it comes to why is it that it seems as if we prayed, God failed us? Can we also come to a point? One of the things that have caused problem in the world is negative speaking. Go and check your scriptures very well. The Bible warned us that life and death, the book of James, life and death is in the tongue. If you speak life, you will reap life. If you speak death, you will reap death. It took me time to recognize that law. This law works for both believers and non-believers alike. What we say is a seed, we will reap it. Jesus clearly told us to be careful for our words. But what we say, we will see. Mark 11:23-24. Mark 11:23-24. If any man shall say to this mountain, and does not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. James warns us of our tongue. We teach we bless God, we teach we curse people. So let's be careful about when we say somebody is a Christian. Let me explain something to my wife. God only protects and preserves those that are in covenant with him. Please, I want us to understand covenant. You see the way he protected Sarah and did not allow Abimelech to sleep with Sarah because he was in covenant with Abraham. I can take you from scripture to scripture. Even Jesus Christ did not die at the wrong time because of covenant. I'm bringing it from the second time. Covenant keeping is important to God. Now, there are many people who say they are Christian, but they are not in covenant keeping with God. It's very important. God only will arise on the matter of that man, that boy is in covenant with me. You can't touch him. Because covenant is, it makes God to act. Now, that's why the children of Israel, he said, he suffered kings to do them no wrong. Because the entire Israel is in covenant with God. Christians are in covenant with God through Christ. But you are not a Christian because you bear Peter. Or because you are... No. You must... You see, the problem is we are calling several people Christians who are not Christians. The religion is different. You can be a bishop or priest and you are not saved. You are committing sin. Making mistakes is different from committing sin. They are different. When somebody is growing in his faith and he makes mistakes, he's in growth. If he has a good discipler or spiritual parenting, he will get that just like a child grows. Okay? So, covenant, because if you check, why did God not destroy Noah with the people? He was in covenant with Noah. So, Noah can't be destroyed. Why is it that the devil could not touch Job? He was in covenant with God. Why is it that Abimelech could not speak with Sarai, even though he was in his custody? Was in covenant with God? Or was it Isaac now? And then the king of Egypt too could not sleep with Sarah because he did not. In fact, God said, if you have touched this man's wife, all your family will have died. That covenant is another thing we must begin to look into. Now, how does a man walk in covenant with God? In Christ, that's why it's called New Testament, New Covenant. You drink the cup, you eat the flesh, you walk in obedience. You abide in Christ. Two things happen. When you are in covenant with God, God arises to defend you. If you must be taken by persecution, he informs you. I can tell you the truth. If you are going to be killed now for the sake of the gospel, it's the Lord's duty based on covenant to explain it to you. He will show you, he will show, so I'm telling you, he's faithful. He won't break that covenant to take you from the earth without your notice. No. Paul, for example, when he was about to die, he told the people, now I'm about to be offered. A crown of righteousness is laid before me. I have fought the good fight of faith. Peter, when he was about to die, he knew. He said, I'm about to be poured forth as an offering. All the apostles knew when they were to leave. He said, law, covenant keeping God. He keeps his covenant. Jesus Christ keeps the covenant. When he was saying, fear not, I've overcome the world. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, shall not harm you. He said, behold, I give you power to tread upon snake and scorpions. Nothing was he lying? That means no death will hurt you. I will take you and, you know, I've had testimonies of when believers are about to die, angels are asleep. They saw, taking them away, taking them home. What's the name of this man? F.F. Bosworth. When he was about to die, called his own children, ready to be taken home. So it's not a... We see, when we stop living the Christian life and we are slaves of entertainment, we lose many virtues. And they bomb a church and now say, well, but God is looking. Are they Christians in that church? Or they are churchgoers? If they are genuine Christians, he has told them. He has prepared them. They are not in sorrow.
And precious is their death in the sight of the Lord. But when you see death as evil, you know, we see death as evil, but the Bible says God sees death as precious. So you see, it depends on your definition of death. Death is a way to rest and get out of the evil of this world. And God loves it when saints come home. But sometimes we love life. And why do we love it? We want to buy cars. We want to enjoy life. We want to be alive to watch more TV programs, to buy cars, to marry. That's why we want to be alive. We are not even crying to be alive to save more souls. We just want to be alive for being alive's sake. Do you understand? So, you say cancer kills somebody. Is it God that sends cancer or the food and gluttony of what is in the world? Let's check all this. God gave us a law of food. We broke it. If you broke that law, what was the right prescription God gave us? Vegetables. Go and check Genesis. He gave plants, not even animals. It was after the fall that animals were included. The food God prescribed for man is plants. And you discover that animals constantly eat plants. They give birth on their own. It's even us now, because of the food we feed them with. We now have veterinary doctors. It's the food we started feeding animals with that brought all sicknesses that came upon them. The food we manufacture for them. The ones they were eating by original prescription. I don't know who takes care of lion. Is there a doctor for lion? Who takes care of lion? Who takes care of tiger in the wild bush? Nature itself takes care of them. When they are wounded, they are healed. God gave us plants. We started eating junks. We are sick. They will now cry to God. Who was asking you to drink all the coke in the first place? So there are laws that must be obeyed. You now said your dad or your uncle got cancer. You pray to God. He didn't heal him. How will you heal a man that deliberately? And every law, imagine smokers, the Federal Ministry of Health wants that smokers are liable to die young. And then your dad has been smoking for long. He now got a kidney problem. You started praying. Then God didn't answer. You now say, we forget that God operates by laws and principles. Seed time and harvest time. A man will reap what he sows. Galatians chapter 6. So when a man is reaping the harvest of what he sows, we now expect God to answer by breaking the law that is set on sowing and reaping. Most of the harvest that people reap as a result of what they have sown, God does not answer those church prayers. If what is happening to a man or woman, your dad, your mom, your auntie or uncle, is the harvest of what is sowed, most of the time God will not break that law. We need to understand what is happening to this man. If it's an attack from the devil, he will answer by mercy. But if it's not an attack, if it's a product of what is sowed, he will reap it. It's a law. So you see, you need to understand this thing I'm praying about. Is my uncle reaping what is so? Because it's a law. You can only cry for mercy and ask doctors to put their best. And if the person recognizes it and asks for forgiveness, you know, sometimes we are praying for somebody that is not asking for forgiveness himself. He didn't see it as something to ask forgiveness for or about. Oh, I have wasted my prayer. Mercy can prevail and healing can start gradually. May the Lord grant us light and grant us grace. So when we say it seems at times God seems to fail, God does not fail his children. They are in covenant with him. He will never fail them. I repeat, never. Check what is. It's we that usually have problems, not God. We pray prayers of complaint. We say we are praying. It is prayers of faith, the Bible says, shall save the sick, not the prayer of complaint in James chapter 5. Are you following this? So it's important for us to know the platform upon which God answers. We must keep the covenant. We must walk with him. Now somebody says, for all I know, I've been walking with God. Why did this still happen to me? Remember, he said, when you pass through fire, I will be with you. He did not promise us a life without fire. And you see, in some instances, he allows us to pass through them because we are the examples to light the world of what it means to walk with God. Because some people want to walk with God that plays, that pampers, that everything. So anytime they now discover that something else is happening in their life, they abandon God. God needs somebody else to show an example that you, I'm not following him because of what he does. I'm following him because of who he is. He is the creator, he is my father, and I'm subject to him. If he answers me, I follow him. He does not answer me, I follow him. He provides for me, I follow him. He doesn't provide for me, I follow him. Mine is to keep the covenant. I love him because he first loved me. He has rescued me from hell and death, and I choose to trust him. So when he gives me, he will normally provide for me. But Jesus said in Matthew 6 that your heavenly Father knows you need them. So he never fails. Whatever we go through now, we should rather discern. Is there a door I opened? Is there a loophole I opened? He that breaketh the edge with the serpent will bar. In case I did not open, then I'm being built and raised to be a blessing to others. It can't be any of those. It can't be out of any of those. If I did not open a door, or that the serpent is now attacking me, if I know all doors are not open, I've worked with him, check your statement. Because somebody say, well, in this nation, anything can happen. You have sown a seed. Anything can happen. Your words are powerful. Don't speak negative. Somebody just say, I'm tired of this school. Things that will make you tired in that school will happen. You've said it. A man's words will produce. That path we've not gotten right. Nigeria said, jaga jaga. That's what you're going to experience. Africa is a terrible continent. That's what you're going to experience. Christians need to change the narrative because the Bible says we are the children of peace. So he said, blessed are the peacemakers. So we must make peace happen. The Lord will strengthen us. In Jesus' name. Amen.